Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, we are in the middle of our Christmas series. We're celebrating this Christmas season together, and it's going to be fun. And it looks like Christmas outside, too, so I'm just saying, I like snow. I know some of you guys want to throw snowballs at me right now, the fact that I said that. But listen, you can't have Christmas without looking like it's snowy, right? It's going to be an amazing Christmas season. And through this Christmas season, what we're doing in this series is we're digging into some of the classic Christmas carols. And we're kind of looking at through carols and looking at how they apply to our lives. And we're really learning the meaning behind these carols as well. And if you remember last week, we jumped into the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we learned that despite of how we feel, despite of what we're going through, no matter what it is, God still sees us as faithful, joyful, and triumphant. And then next week, we're going to look at the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. And then again, on Christmas Eve, we're going to conclude this series, and we're going to talk about the Christmas carol, Emmanuel. And just like Kevin said, we have two services Christmas Eve. It's going to be incredible. They're going to be the exact same service, but just to give you two different options at 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. And those will be our weekend services for that weekend. We're not going to hold any services on Sunday, December 25th. That's Christmas morning. We're just going to do everything on Christmas Eve. And then the same thing again, we're going to do that for New Year's Eve. Instead of holding services on New Year's Day where you're probably tired, we're going to celebrate together, have a service, and then we're going to watch the Buckeye game. I'll tell you what, we will open up the altars depending on the game at halftime. Can maybe a little bit of a joke there, but it's going to be a fun time. So just mark your calendars here, and then eventually, once the new year turns, we will have services again on Sunday, but be a little bit awkward, go two Saturdays in a row, and then you're like, man, I forgot that church actually is on Sunday, right? Don't forget, come back. But we're doing these things, right, and we're going through this Christmas season. And through this Christmas season, it's really a great time to reflect on what Jesus did for us, right? Because that's the whole meaning of Christmas. That's the whole reason we sing carols. And again, we learn that carols are songs of praise. Carols are songs of joy. We sing songs of praise. We sing songs of joy because what God did for us. Because he sent Jesus to live a life for us. He sent Jesus as a baby in human form. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the carol, Away in a Manger. And we're going to look at the truth that we can learn from this carol. This truth that I think so many times we often overlook when we sing this song. So let me just give you a little context of this song, give it a little background. This song was actually first published in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum way back in 1885. Now, there is some controversy about that song. There's some controversy on who actually wrote this song. Some people credit Martin Luther, who was the father of the Lutheran denomination. He was the father of the Great Reformation. But actually, if you look at this and you dig deep into this, after a lot of study, Martin Luther really probably wasn't the one who wrote it. But it's kind of a mystery of who wrote it, right? So it's kind of unknown who wrote this carol. It's a mystery. But what's not a mystery about it is the truth that's there. What's not a mystery is that this song has touched so many people's lives for decades and decades and decades. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at these lyrics real quick. We're going to sing this to end the service, but I want to look at these lyrics right now, and then we're going to dig deep into them as well. But it says this. It says, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus, no crying, he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Another version says, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. If you look at those lyrics, kind of strip everything away and just look at those lyrics, it's so powerful, right? And I think this song is one of those songs that we've sung tons and tons of times. Like maybe it's something that you've connected with before, right? Maybe this is one of your favorite Christmas carols, but I think so often we overlook this. But the truth is, this is a Christmas carol that connects us to Jesus in such a powerful way. Because there's something about imagining Jesus born. There's something about Jesus doing what we all have done. Listen, 100% of the people in this room have been born. Just throwing that out there. That's what you have in common with every single person in this room. You've been born. It's just a fact. And there's something about God stripping himself down, stripping himself from all his glory to be physically born just like us. And even doing so in the lowest place. He was born in a manger. It goes to show that none of us are too low for his grace. That's how far he extends his grace. And it's amazing. And it's why we celebrate Christmas. And I think this song, Away in the Manger, it depicts this so well. It's such a powerful visual of what God did for us through Jesus. Again, he sent his son to live a perfect life in human form. Then his son died on a cross to pay a penalty that we all should pay, to be the ultimate sacrifice. And then he was risen again to give us new life. But it all started away in a manger. And throughout this song, there's one phrase that we're going to dig into. And it's a phrase that is so easy to overlook. But if you look through this song, it's used over and over and over again. And today I want to focus on it. I want you to walk away, never being able to hear this song without truly thinking about this and truly understanding what it means. And it's the phrase, the little Lord Jesus. The little Lord Jesus. And this phrase is so much more than Jesus just being a little bit baby. It's so much more than him just being this tiny person, right? It's so much more than just saying, dear 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. But it's about the lordship of Jesus Christ. In fact, even as a baby, even as an infant, even as a little child, he's still the Lord. So the key thought for this message and what I want you to walk away with is this, is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. In fact, I want you just to say that with me. I'm going to count to three, and we're going to say that together, right? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is Lord. That was really good. We don't even have to do that again. Jesus is Lord. If you look throughout the New Testament, it actually says that Jesus is Lord 740 times, which brings us to the key verse of this whole entire series. And again, it's Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, go with me there. If you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource to take with you. But again, this passage of Scripture, this is the memory verse for this series. This is the main verse that we're going to go through over and over again. And it's the reason we sing carols. It's the backdrop of all of Christmas. So I challenge you to write this verse down. Put it on your fridge. Make it your screensaver for your phone. Put it someplace where you're going to see it every single day throughout the season to remind you why we celebrate Christmas. And if you look at the context of the Scripture, before this, here's these angels. They're coming to these shepherds. These shepherds who are watching their flock at night. And these angels, this angel's bringing them good news. News that will change them forever. And news that will change mankind forever. So check this out. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. It says, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that will be a great joy to all people. Today your Savior was born in the town of David. And he is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord is born. Here's this passage of Scripture. And it's establishing Jesus, the Son of God. At the very beginning, it's establishing him as the Savior of the world, but it's also establishing him as Lord. He's Christ the Lord. From the first time his birth was even announced, he's saying Jesus is Lord. Now let's look at what that means. Let's look at the word Lord and what it means and how it applies to our life. The word Lord means supreme in authority. It means controller. Now think about that. Some of you guys just got super uncomfortable, right? For some of you, when you hear that and just the fact that Jesus is supreme in authority in your life, he's the controller of your life, it's going to be a challenge, right? Because some of you think that's your job. You want to be in control, especially in your own life. Now, luckily, I don't struggle with this at all. I'm just going to throw that out there, right? I'm not a control freak whatsoever. All right, here's some chuckles. Those of you who know me know that I like to be in control, right? But I'm not a control freak. As long as everything goes my way, I'm not a control freak. I'm perfectly fine, right? Okay, this is one of those messages I'm preaching to myself again. but I want to be in control. And listen, like, I hate driving. Like, I actually hate driving with a passion, but I will always sit behind the wheel so that I can be in control. Like, if it's between Sarah driving and myself driving, listen, I'm driving all the time. And then even if I am the passenger, like, she doesn't like me to be the passenger because she's afraid I'm going to kick through her floorboard because I'm trying to put the brakes on before she does too, because I want to be in control. I have some issues with that, right? The same thing's true at home when we're flipping through the TV and we have the remote. I have to have the remote. Anybody else like that? You have to have the remote? Listen, it's a scary thing. When Sarah has the remote, it's scary not only because we're obviously going to get stuck on HGTV, but if we're flipping through and we're actually channel surfing, she goes way, way, way too slow. Like, she sits on channels that you know there's not going to be anything good on as well. And she'll even wait for the commercial to go through to find out what's on the channel. Listen, I have to have the remote. I have to be in control. It drives me crazy if not. And I'm a little bit of OCD. So I like to make lists. I like to, like, put a list together, and then I'll work through that list. And I'll, like, write it out. Sometimes I'll even type it out, and then I'll print it, and then I'll have it nice and neat for me, right? What Sarah does too is she comes there, she likes to mix things up, but she'll just take my sheet, she'll take my list, and she'll just write something on it. Now, it's just a scrap piece of paper, she's making a little note, but to me, it throws me completely off. I'm thinking, like, why is that? That shouldn't be in the corner, and it's crooked. Like, what's going on? It, like, makes me feel like I'm losing control. And she's, like, altering my plans, right? Listen, my name's Corbin Huffman, and I have a problem. I'm just going to throw that out there. But I want to be in control. I don't really think many of us, we're probably the same way, right? Now, some of you guys, you probably not as OCD as me. Some of you probably don't need to seek professional help like I probably should. But we want to be in control. And because we want to be in control, the problem is it doesn't necessarily allow us to place Jesus as Lord of our lives. And really, it leads to this thing called casual Christianity. And if you think about it, it's a dangerous place to be. In fact, Jesus even addresses this in Luke 6:46, and he calls out people who are living this way. So check this out, Luke 6:46. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say?" Here's Jesus, and he's really given this lesson between wise builders and foolish builders. And he's saying that the control freaks, right, the ones who want to be in control, they're really foolish builders. And he's calling them out. He's calling those who don't live like he's Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? When I hear that, I feel like he's talking to me directly, right? He's saying, why are you giving me this lip service, right? Why are you calling me Lord, but doing whatever you want to do? The truth is, Jesus doesn't just want lip service. He wants life service. He doesn't just want a bunch of talk. He actually wants us to walk the walk. But I think so many times, and unfortunately, there's so many people that would say that I believe in Jesus, but they live like they're still in control. They say, I believe in Jesus, the Lord, but I still want to do whatever I want. They say, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to trust him with everything. I'm not going to trust him in my life. And there's a lot of people that believe in God, but they live like he doesn't exist. And it's a trap I think we can fall into as well, because we want to be in control. We want to be in control of our relationships. Think about this. We want to be in control of our relationships. So what do? Instead of praying for those that hurt us, instead of blessing those that persecute us, the Bible says, what do? We pay them back. We seek revenge. We take it into our own hands. Instead of giving forgiveness like the Bible says, we hold on to grudges. Instead of giving 10% of our finances and trusting him with it and being a good steward like the Bible says, what do? We take control of it and we trust money more than we do God. And oftentimes it leads us into crazy debt. Instead of showing mercy when we're supposed to show mercy, we show revenge. Instead of being humble when we're called to be humble, we become prideful. Instead of making peace, sometimes we just stir the pot. Maybe we comment on somebody's Facebook page just to see and just to get them riled up, right? Or maybe even we comment on somebody's Facebook page just to get somebody else riled up. What are we doing? We're stirring the pot. And we're ripping up God's truth and living in a way like we don't believe it. And Jesus is saying to us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? It's because we want to be in control. And because of that, it's keeping us from allowing Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. If Jesus is Lord, it means that he's in control. It means that he's supreme in authority. And again, it's so hard for us to grasp. And again, I'm preaching to myself today. It's so hard for us to grasp. And it's why this song says, away in the manger. This song, it gives this truth that so many times we just overlook. The little Lord Jesus. I think we overlook that statement that he is Lord. See, it's easier for us to see him as little than it is Lord. But we need to move beyond that. We need to move beyond ourselves. Because the truth is, in our lives, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So I want you to think, what does it mean for Jesus to be Lord of all? In your everyday life, in our everyday life, what does that mean? If we're married, what does it mean that he's Lord of our marriage? If we're dating, what does he mean that he's Lord in our dating life? If we're finishing finals, what does it mean that he's Lord even in the midst of our finals? If we have a year-end review, what does it mean that he's the Lord and he's still Lord throughout that review, right? For buying Christmas presents, what does that mean? That Jesus is still Lord. And what's the result? I love the last couple verses of this song. It says, I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there. When we allow Jesus to be the Lord in our lives, we can know that he's going to be present in our lives. We can know that he's going to stay with us throughout the struggles we have, throughout the things that we go through, throughout the trials that we walk through every single day. We can know that he's going to stay with us there. We can feel him close to us, and we can experience his love. If he's Lord of our lives, we can experience him in an incredible way in every situation we go through, and he's going to take us to heaven. Imagine his presence in the middle of your marriage. In the roughest part of your marriage, the roughest fight, the roughest situation you've gone through together, imagine his presence. Imagine his love in every trial that you walk through in each of your relationships, in your career. Imagine his love if it's there, right there, waiting for you to call on it in every trial and situation. When he's Lord in our lives, we can have this incredible peace that we can experience. We can have this incredible confidence in him. Jesus is Lord. So how do we make that happen in our lives? How do we make him Lord? I'll start off by saying this just to take some pressure off of you. We actually don't make Jesus Lord. In fact, God made him Lord long, long, long ago. Over 2,000 years ago, this is what this scripture is all about. God made him Lord already, right? He's already Lord. He was born that way. And I think this song points out to that so perfectly. The little Lord Jesus. So we don't make him Lord. But to apply this to our lives, the fact that he is Lord, what we need to do is we need to fully surrender to him. In fact, that's the one action step today, is that we fully surrender to his lordship. Fully surrender, and we place him supreme in authority in all our lives. We surrender the one who's really the only one who's in control anyways, right? We fully surrender to him, which means that we're all in with Christ. Everything we have is his. All of us is all his. Not just the Sunday Christian, Not just when it's convenient, not just a prayer before a meal, not just a God bless America type of thing. Not that, but a full-on, holding nothing back. My life does not belong to me type of Christian. It's a type of commitment that goes beyond anything we can imagine. It's fully surrendered to him. Paul phrased it this way in Romans 14, 7 through 8, when he said this. He says, we do not live or die for ourselves. If we live, we are living for the Lord. And if we die, we are dying for the Lord. So living or dying, we belong to the Lord. Think about this. How many of you right now are living? Okay, if somebody's not raising their hand next to you, give them a quick check, make sure they're all right. But all of us are alive. And if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, if we call ourselves a Christian, why are we alive? What are we living for? We're living for him. We're living for the Lord. We live to honor the Lord. If we die, we die to honor the Lord. So if we live or die, we belong to him, meaning our life is not our own. And really, I think marriage is a great representation of this. Like in the good way, just to let you know, though. But I love marriage. Like marriage is, so I love the sanctity of marriage. And I love marriage really because I think it's such a great representation of our relationship with Christ. I mean, if you think about it, in a marriage, right? My wife, Sarah, belongs to me, and I belong to her. But think about how it started, right? It started with me painting on a wall, Sarah Beth, will you marry me? Now, I was super nervous, and I actually forgot the H in the name Sarah, so I like squeezed in the H. She still said yes. I don't know if I, but I squeezed it in, right? But that's how it started. We were renovating the house. We had this all set up there, and I had her come over for breakfast. I said, hey, pick up some Tim Hortons. Just come over. I had it all set up. So I painted her name, Sarah Beth, will you marry me? I didn't clean the paintbrush, which she was still a little bit mad about today, but I had that all set up, and I got down on one knee, and I gave her this gift. I gave her this ring. And think about this. How much did the ring cost her? The ring cost her absolutely nothing, right? Cost me a couple bucks because cubiczirconium.com, they wanted their money. But I'm just saying, it didn't cost her anything. But when she received the gift, when she said yes, how much did it cost her? It cost her everything. At that point, when she said yes, she was becoming mine. Later we had a wedding, right? And both of us, we made this public declaration. We made this covenant before people. And we both said that, you know what? I'm yours and you are mine. We gave our lives to each other and for each other that day. It's the same thing with Christ. We give our lives to the Lord. When Jesus shed his blood and died for you, he offered this gift free to you. It was a free gift of salvation, and it's by grace that you're saved. It's through that grace that Jesus gave you. That salvation, that gift of salvation, it cost you nothing, but it cost Jesus everything. But when we accept it, when we say yes to that gift, you're no longer your own. You're no longer in control of the rights that you have. You belong to him. You surrender to his lordship. Your life is no longer your own. You're no longer the controller of your life. He's supreme in authority. And we have to fully surrender to his lordship. We've read this verse before, but I think it's so powerful. And it points to this action step. It's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And it says this. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do and he will give you success. So how much of our heart do we trust him with? All of it. Fully surrendered. When we fully surrender to his lordship, it means that we trust with all our heart. I think the reason so many of us, we don't fully surrender is because there's areas in our life where we don't trust God with. And let's be honest. Let's just call it what it is. If you're not fully surrendering, what are we telling Jesus? We're saying, I don't trust you. We need to trust him with all of our heart. Fully surrender to his lordship also means that we're dependent on him. Too many times I think we want to do it our own way, right? But that keeps us from fully surrendering to him. We need to come to that place of reliance. We need to come to that place that's really, it's really uncomfortable, because what it is, we're vulnerable. We're asking for help. We're asking for somebody to step in and take control, take it away from us. We need to depend on him and not ourselves. And to be fully surrendered to his lordship also means that we remember him. So many times I think we don't fully surrender because we forget what God's done in our lives. We overlook it, right? We take the situations that he's intervened, we take those situations for granted, and we forget how he's proven himself faithful over and over and over again. To remember him in all we do means that we are fully surrendering to his lordship. And what are these things? These things are the basics to any relationship. Relationships, they're built on trust. They're built on dependency. And they're built on memories. Fully surrendering is all about relationship. That's why God sent Jesus, so we could see him, so we can know him, so we could relate with him, and so we could have this love relationship with him. It's all about relationship. That's even why when someone asked Jesus, what is the most important command? He said this in Matthew 22, 37 through 38. It says, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and most important command. It's a relational command. Love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's fully committed. It's fully surrendered. Listen, there's a big difference between calling Jesus Lord and surrendering to his lordship. We need to fully surrender to him. All the time, with all of who we are. Listen, he's not a part-time Lord, and he doesn't want part-time followers. So when you come to him, he asks you to give his whole life. He asks you to give your whole life. He says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross and follow me. He says, you want to find your life? Then lose it. Give it away. Surrender it. We need to fully surrender to his lordship. So this is what I want you to think about. And I want you to ask yourself, I want you to prayerfully consider this. Is there an area of your life where you have not fully surrendered to Jesus? Is there an area of your life where you have not allowed him to be the controller? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself, what area of my life am I still trying to control? What area of my life am I unwilling to trust him with? What area of my life am I not depending on him? And what am I forgetting about? Where's things that he's proven himself faithful and I'm forgetting about what he's done? Fully surrender to the Lord. Fully surrender to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you today. God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you that you were a Lord, that you were the Lord before anything, before we even had to make you, because God, you made Jesus Lord as a baby. The little Lord Jesus. God, it goes beyond just talking about a little baby, but it goes to your lordship, and we thank you for your lordship, God. God, help us surrender. Help us fully surrender to that. Help us to trust you, God. Help us to trust you in all areas of our life, and help us to depend on you. And God, help us to remember your faithfulness. God, put memories in our life, God, when we're going through a struggle. Let us see where you were faithful so we can have confidence that you will remain faithful and you will always be faithful, God. God, we love you and we thank you for this. And let us fully surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.